And we continue here today on the Travel World Radio Show across America via satellite, Stephen Pickford with Willem Backus. And joining us now on the line from Montreal, our hometown, Andrew Prince. He's the member of the Travel Media Association of Canada. He's more than just a travel journalist. I would say he's celebrating for his cultural navigation arts. And you can check him out on the internet at ontheglobe.com. He's joining us today to talk a little bit about cultural navigation. Welcome to Travel World, Andrew.
Thank you, Stephen. Thank you very much.
So, cultural navigation, how is that different from the traditional travel journalist or travel broadcaster role?
Well, I'd say that that cultural navigation is a little, tries to get a little bit closer to the local culture that we visit, and then communicate that to people like your listeners, and to kind of bring back stories where we kind of get become less of an outside eye, than, and we don't shy away from actually participating and going to far-flung countries that today we know have a, you know, actually affect our lives and vice versa.
You can go to a place and you bring back a part of that destination within yourself, and you leave a part of yourself there emotionally, not like leaving garbage there behind. You're leaving part of yourself behind in that destination and taking back from it. Now, you've gone to a couple of very different destinations recently that people might say, well, you've gone off the beaten path. And maybe you can share a little bit with us today on Travel World.
Well, you know, yes, you know, not so long ago I was on the South Pacific island of Samoa. And, you know, here we have, you know, we all know the more famous Fijis, or the islands that have become a little bit invaded by tourism, and tourism becomes, you know, the self-definition of the island. Samoa, in contrast, is an island which maintains its 3,000-year-old chiefly traditions. And is an island that is has a little bit shied away from mass tourism because of its very profound cultural identity that it's very very guarding, here we visited the wonderful and beautiful landscapes, the tag holes in Savai'i, which they have the blowholes, and leaving. I mean, it gives you this amazing, feeling of really being in a place that's kind of far flung, and you don't have the massive tourists. Although there are some very nice smaller resorts and hotels that give you a more intimate experience. There is even one, the Aggie Gray, who created a resort, during the Second World War, and has become fabled. And now they've developed a more upscale resort on the island as well.
And even when you go to a more well-known destination like Thailand, there are corners of Thailand that are miles removed from walking around the Patpong district of Bangkok.
That's right. I mean, in Thailand, I went to the Anantara Golden Triangle Resort in Chiang Rai, and that's a beautiful, five-star hotel where, in the background, as you wake up in the morning, you're on the corner of three countries, and you've got elephants roaming around in your backyard. But more than just elephants, and more than just an experience, because I spent a day with the mahouts of Thailand, and these people are people that for hundreds of years have trained elephants, and they were after the elephants were working elephants for a long time, and then these mahouts, once they outlawed that, then they kind of didn't have a role. But you've got to remember that these people actually even have their own culture, their own language, and a very peculiar culture it's great to experience with them and to learn from them. And so I spent a day on top of these 4-ton elephants and learning how they train their elephants, how to get on top of an elephant, how to get off of an elephant, all of these things that are kind of practical.
They're practical pieces of information, and I can just picture that hopefully it was easier. I've got difficulty sometimes getting on a horse, so I can imagine that it might be difficult to get onto an elephant, but I've watched films and you can see how they kneel down and they help you on board, and even people that are senior citizens, they can very easily take an elephant ride.
Absolutely. It's very astonishing how, you're on top of the elephant and you're really actually, your feet are behind its ears. It's bareback, so in India you can be sitting in a little kind of a box, but here you're pretty much bareback. I had the good fortune of being on an actually a retired elephant. She was a 58-year-old half-blind elephant called Iwong, which was really nice because the teenagers were always constantly rubbing themselves against rocks or splashing in the water, and you don't want to fall off the elephant and have the elephant fall on you because it's 4
no
times.
No yeah, yeah. You'd remember that for a long time
if
you remembered it at all.
And
the southern part of Phuket, which is touristy, has recovered as well from the tsunami and is back on the tourism horizon.
Well, even not far from Phuket, there was a village that I went to, spent a day, and they were pretty much affected by the tsunami. They had a small school which was right on the shores. So, but the interesting thing is that they've actually, tourism has become one of their ways of overcoming the tragedy of the tsunami there. I spent a day at a village where they actually welcome guests. People could stay with the villagers, and you could make soap. They make food with them. You could go fishing. So they've really created this one young lady who was showing us how to make soap. Had almost never seen a foreigner in her life before the tsunami, and she kind of transformed her life and is sharing her life with others. So and even in Samoa, where they had a tsunami years later, again, and this was in 2009, they're also welcoming people and really sharing their stories of that were very terrible stories, but for them it's a way of tourism, and this kind of interaction is a good way of, a lot of the time when you travel, people are in a bubble. A lot of the cruise tourism or whatnot leaves you in a bubble, but the idea of interacting with the local cultures, interacting with the people, sharing your stories, sharing your experiences, I think these are the kinds of experiences that are most rewarding if that interaction happens.
And we have about a minute left here, but you have a series which you've taken on the road. You've done it in the past year in Montreal and Toronto, where people can sort of share in your experiences and learn more about some of these destinations.
Yeah, I have a series called Travels on the Globe, and what this is we present at various theaters. We present films from the local culture, as well as taking you on the journey, on some of these journeys, like what I've talked about. Most recently, just to do, we gave one last journey in Canada, actually, which I most recently came back from, was in Saskatchewan at the Reeser Ranch, which is a five generation ranch where we also they went on horseback and bringing in the cattle. And this was another kind of, even in Canada we have these parts of our culture that some of us might not know about, and these are the kinds of experiences, like learning about being on a ranch and what ranch life is. These are the kinds of experiences that you could find in your own backyard as well.
But people think they have to travel sometimes to the furthest corner of the earth, or maybe they have that sort of fear factor as well when they go. We talk about the going on all these tours where you're kind of separated from the local people. But if you get out there, if you can come back from any trip and with at least one memorable experience, that is what travel is all about.
Oh, well, I totally connected with the family at the Reeser Ranch, and it's a ranch that are basically a family ranch, and there's a lot of these all over the country, be it a ranch or a farm or all sorts of different kinds of experiences. So yeah, you can actually go with your family and learn about others, and I think that's the beginning of cultural interaction, and that's where travel plays itself out in the best light.
Well, I invite our listeners of Travel World Radio to check out your website, ontheglobe.com. Andrew Prince from Montreal, thank you for joining us today on Travel World Radio.
Thank you, Stephen. I appreciate it.
We are coming up to another break here on Travel World Radio, thinking about some of our great destinations. You can check us out on the internet, twc.ca. We're working on our website for a relaunch this fall, and we'll be right back.